You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello again. Welcome to another edition of Big Chris Live, the live stream and then the podcast. My guest this evening is Dean Blundell, the Dean Blundell Network, which does host the podcast. And great to be back. I got a new studio. It's been quite a journey. I can't even believe we're in like April, the end of April in 2022. It's just like, it's not Jan 1. It's not New Year's Day. It's fucking wild how crazy things have been for me. Dean, thanks for joining me today, buddy.
Dude, I'm so happy to be your first guest back after you quit radio. It's exciting.
Are we going to do like an exit interview? Like what's?
Yeah, dude. And I don't have anything. When you're a guest on someone's podcast, there's like no stress, no pressure, no anxiety, no anything. Because it's not me I'm sewering when we have this conversation. So yeah, for sure. It's going to be exit interview. I want to get into it. And it's just real. I'm really happy to just, I mean, we talked on the phone yesterday, but just to catch up, it's always good to catch up with good people. So very happy that you've moved. And I know you big changes in your life and we're going to talk about them today. But let me just say this. Any guy that has wainscoting in his studio is probably really rich. That's all I'm saying. Any guy with wainscoting in his office is fucking loaded.
Is it for real? How do you know that?
That's what wainscoting says. Every time I see wainscoting, if you don't know what wainscoting is, people, it's where you put like wood halfway up the wall and then it just looks ritzy and rich. And you're like, oh, fuck, is that mahogany? No, it's pine. We just painted it to look like mahogany. But dude, that is the sign of a wealthy individual. Someone that's like, I'm going to take a whole bunch of wood. I'm going to put it halfway up the wall so everybody knows how important I feel.
Yeah. Okay. Then I've splintered wood. I couldn't go full pine paneling. Went half.
Well, that's the cheapest way to look rich. That's what I'm saying.
It's a shortcut.
Yeah. You know what I get a kick out of are the people that put like vinyl flooring on their walls. You're like, that's not wainscoting, nor is it wood. But fuck, is that ever a trick? Is that ever a great trick?
It's a real hack. It's on BuzzFeed's home reno hacks for millennials.
Yeah, it's millennial flooring on your wall. Yeah. Anyway, how are you, bud?
I'm great, man. Yeah, so thanks for noticing. The studio's coming along swimmingly.
Yeah.
I got everything hooked up to my fancy. I'm going to have guests, those who are available or interested in the studio. I've got like a big fucking leather chair, like a big guest chair, which will be fun. And then, you know, of course, still doing remote interviews. It's great to have a new home too. It's exciting. It feels like it happened in a blink of an eye. We've got this really nice house, and let me tell you that the housing price difference between the Ottawa region and the
is it GTA? Insane?
Fucking crazy, man. So we were living in this tight little three bedroom in Barrie, which is right next to Toronto for the most expensive place to live in Canada.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they're hacking the GTA by living in Barrie until you get to Barrie and you're like, fuck, it's just almost as expensive.
Yeah. No. So yeah, it's equally. It's $10 per month difference between Barrie and Toronto for a one bedroom apartment. So almost even. Which is crazy. So we had this tight little three bedroom thing. Here we've got a three bedroom house with a full finished basement with wainscoting. Now, if you watch Hometown on HGTV, which my wife makes me,
wainscoting, is it?
They say wainscoting because they're from Mississippi.
Wainscoting.
Yeah.
How many bathrooms you got in that new spot?
You got three bathrooms, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You've really hit the big time. But like, what are we talking? So like, let's say three bedroom shithole in Barrie, three bedroom, beautiful finished home, backyard, finished basement, three bathrooms, lots of rooms.
A wicked ass shed.
Half? You talking half? Oh, a wicked ass shed too, to put your shed shit in. Half? Are we talking?
This house. Houses in this neighborhood generally go for around $750 to $800. 100,000.
Oh, fuck. In that neighborhood.
In this general neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Yeah. It's a different world. And I was thinking about it the other day because I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm like, I think I'm going to move to PEI. I think I'm going to move to PEI.
Live like a king.
Or Edmonton. They've got really low home prices. Or maybe even Saskatchewan. But then I thought, fuck, everybody hates Saskatchewan. I'm not going there. But if the time that we live in and the decision that you made, which I'm sure we're going to get to go out and experience life, do something else, take a chance, support your spouse, that kind of stuff. It frees you up to be able to realize these things where you're like, oh my God, I was like boiled frogs. I should have never been okay paying 10 grand a month for a 2-bedroom, like a bachelor suite, the struggle. And then you get out of the struggle and you're like, oh my God, life is actually pretty good if you take a chance and you decide to, roll the dice when it comes to your life. Right. And then housing is just one of those things. Fucking great. Good for you.
Well, yeah. And it bothers me though. And I did a little mic check just for audio only subscribers, a while back where I was just testing the mic out. And I said the same thing, it feels, it's wild. I'm fucking high cause it's 4:20 today. And I forgot where I was going.
I was waiting for it.
It just went away.
Don't you love that? Yeah. You're like, maybe I should take a week off, or I have Alzheimer's. Yeah. One of two.
Yeah,
things.
One or the other. Yeah. Maybe I should have. Maybe.
Now we're talking about home prices and how you get out of your comfort zone and you realize life's actually pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah, I made the big realization that it's a team sport, and there's got to be a Batman and a Robin in the relationship, and I have to be Robin for a little bit. This is what I said on my podcast a while back. I hate being part of the Great Resignation. It fucking bothers me. From anything, from any industry, thousands of industries, people are just fucking quitting and saying, I'm doing something different. Or people are saying, I'm quitting and I'm just moving to this place because this is where I want to be, or this is home, or whatever the situation, right? Myself included. I hate being part of that, Time Magazine statistic. It bothers me. It eats me alive almost.
Why? Because you lump yourself in with those people?
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure everyone has their reasons, right?
How old
I did
are you?
Mine for my family. I'm 41. 41 as of a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay, 41. How long were you in radio for?
21 years.
21 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so 41, 21 years. Very successful in almost every market you've been in. And I'm only saying that because I think you were very successful without the opportunity at your last gig, despite how people measure success. You were there for a long period of time. You're very good at your job. You're entertaining, great in the hallway. Isn't it just time for some people? Like, didn't the pandemic just say to people like you and people like me, what are you doing, dude? Why are you knocking yourself out for that? Why don't you believe in yourself just a little bit? And I think that, you reframe that Great Resignation, which I get that you hate, but you reframe it into like, man, I'm fortunate that I'm in this group of people who are waking up, right? I'm fortunate that I'm in this group of people that go, I don't need this to define my life. And the external gratification I thought I got from that job, and radio is one of those jobs where you literally do it all for external gratification. That's
for sure,
why you're in the business. Yeah. And then you realize you have a daughter, right? You've got this beautiful new 1-year-old daughter and you're like, that's really important to me. And then you realize you don't really fucking dig getting up at 3 a.m. to go do a job for people that don't really appreciate the job that you do. And then you realize that life might be better outside what you've been told you have to do for a long period of time. And that's what this is. That's what you call the Great Resignation. I call the Great Awakening. I think a lot of people have this inability to look at, changes in their life like they're positive things. But by fucking God, I would hope that you would want to do something else after 21 years in radio. I would hope that you would go, fuck, and I probably shouldn't rely on other people for my paycheck and my self-worth and my self-confidence, especially in industry in decline. So no Great Resignation. It's all about the Great Awakening, my man.
Okay. I'll take that to the bank. And I dip my toe in a few different things after getting here, there was a restaurant chain that was looking for a marketing manager. I've been looking at doing social media for an insurance company, different fucking gigs like that. All of it just seems like after doing radio for so long, it's like, you know what? All that just sounds like a lot of fucking work.
I know, right? Oh, that's the problem. You touch on something so fucking, it's endemic with people in this industry, right? In traditional media, is that you got paid probably, well, I did, a lot of money to do a job that you did kind of for like, you know, 7 minutes an hour, 10 minutes an hour.
Yeah.
And towards the end of my career was like, you know, an hour, but it doesn't matter. But you got used to it. Dude, I hate to tell you this. Radio is exclusively for lazy people.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Right? I'd say so. Yeah.
And then when someone's like, by the way, you got to do some due diligence and you might have to do a real job. Yeah. Instead of just talking about your poop and then, you know, doing a survey about how many women use mascara and how many don't, or the world's biggest hamburger, or telling people what the weather's going to be like.
Yeah. Or it's nothing. National Go Fly a Kite Day.
National Go Fuck Yourself Day. Yeah. And it's not a sustainable industry for people that want more out of life, dude. And you wanted more out of life. Dude. It's fucking awesome.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, that being said, I do have a part-time radio gig lined up here in Ottawa already. So, you know, I mean, thank you.
Can you tell anybody where it is? You're allowed to talk about where it is.
The ink is just drying now. So okay. I'll wait for the internal email to go out.
Change is as good as the rest. So dude, listen, radio is great in a lot of different markets, not so in some markets, right? And you know, the opportunity has to meet your willing desire to be able to do that job, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I get sick of shit after 5 or 6 years. You know, and so you might find, and in this new radio gig that you got, and congratulations, by the way, Chris, you're fucking really good at the gig. But it's on your time, right? Like it's the way that you want to do it. You're like, no, fuck, I'm going to go. And dude, how long you been there? A couple months, month,
like March 3rd,
March 3rd. You've been there a month. You've already got a radio gig. You're highly employable because you're a good human being. There's always going to be jobs for people like you, but fuck it. There's nothing wrong with someone that wants to do that on their own time. It's when it defines you, right?
Well, and that's the genius of it, is it dovetails with the current job, which is still, again, supporting my friggin' bomb ass wife, who's an executive in a home improvement industry, which is quite lucrative these days. Mm-hmm. You know, and her job promotions, which brought us here in the first place. So it's great that I can still Monday to Friday keep the house up. I mean, we've got part-time daycare, you know, which today is daycare day. It landed on 420. Yeah, motherfuckers.
Did you engineer that on your own? Were you like, listen, daddy's got to get 12 alarm high today? So
no, it's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So 3 days a week.
All right.
I have her full-time for 2 days a week, but I'm also on those Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm doing all the groceries. I'm doing like mopping the floors and making sure the house is doing all the laundry. Like I'm, you know, I'm keeping house and making sure she gets to and from. So yeah, there's that responsibility Monday to Friday. And even just an example of like, she picked up a cold at daycare. She brought it home. She and I got sick back and forth for 3 weeks. You know, if I had like, who has to take the time off to sit with her on the couch and watch Mickey Mouse Club? Exactly. So like, why would I start a brand new full-time gig where I'm having to take sick days, right? This is not going to end, this daycare cold.
No, not for like, by the way, not for like 10 to 12 years. Your child will be a petri dish for 10 to 12 years. So until you're 52, you're going to be consistently sick with things that she brings home.
That's
just accept it. No, just accept it. It's part of the deal. She'll have the strongest immune system. She should be eating dirt at one, by the way, and licking like telephone poles and
doors. Oh, yeah.
You really want to fucking get her acclimatized to the illness world.
I had her on the swings the other day and she licked the fucking swing. That's the rubber tire fucking swing. I'm like, oh, fucking, man. Oh, God. Anyways, but that waking me up to say like, okay, well, is my wife heading back to her, you know, really good job, which is like triple what my former salary was?
Yeah.
Or do I ask her to take the day off, or do I take the day off if I'm starting a new full-time job? No fucking way, man.
I have a question for you.
Part-time is great. That's what I'm saying.
Well, good for you. And it's on your terms, right? But I have a question for you in terms of like roles. Have you been able to put away the ego? Have you been able to say, hey, listen, I'm going to do the best with what I have, where I am. And that job right now is to be a full-time dad and to be creative when I get a chance to be and really fill those gaps. Has that been hard for you to wrap your head around? Because a lot of useless, egotistical, asshole, toxic male dudes would be like, this sucks. I got to take a back seat. No, that's not the way the world works anymore.
No, not at all, man. There's been none of that for me. You know, I cherish, I cherish my time with my daughter, but I do cherish the time. It's awesome. To see her take her first steps and all those milestones, to watch her eat food, to learn how to use a spoon, you know, and to have a sense of humor, play hide and go seek. I mean, these are not difficult things to do, but they're important things to do with her. And I'm happy to get my fat ass down on the floor and on my knees and play. And, you know, so yeah, I'm not missing, or there's no ego thing involved at all in that. Good. I'm happy that we're succeeding. Our house and everything we're building here, putting down roots, you know, in my hometown of Ottawa, that's more important than anything for me.
You guys are close to family now too, right?
Yeah. My dad's like 20 minutes from here. And
which is good or bad, depending on how much you like your dad.
Well, thank God we have a good relationship. You know, and my mom's like 25 minutes, you know, like on either way. So, and yeah, we find pretty much, because there's no fucking traffic here. Yeah. Everything's 25 minutes away. We can be down at Parliament in 25
minutes. How crazy
minutes.
Is that difference, right? Leaving yeah. the GTA and then heading to Ottawa, where it's like, oh fuck, I can get to where I'm going in the allotted time.
Here's the other thing. I drive like a fucking asshole here. By Ottawa standards, after 6 years in the GTA, I'm a fucking maniac here, man. I'm in the fast lane. I'm like, why are we going 118? Why are we going 118? I'm getting angry. I'm shaking the thing. But it's normal.
Yeah.
Everyone says, yeah, that's just, people go like maybe 120 and you're like, ooh, you know, in the fast
way
lane.
To go, edgelord. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to PEI a few years ago. And if you don't like it, what you're talking about is the GTA driver. You morph into this like overly aggressive, sometimes like overly offensive driver. And it's just out of survival, right? Like, yeah. If you can't speed up to overtake some asshole, or if you're not going with the speed of traffic, which in and around the GTA is about 120 to 130, depending on what highway you're on, and if it's a toll highway, if it's 404 or the 401. Yeah. I mean, the series of highways here, people fucking cook, right? Yeah. And so when you get to a place like PEI or Ottawa, case in point, PEI, go for a golf trip, I'm fucking leaning on the horn behind this guy in a pickup truck who's doing 60 on a highway that's 100. Yeah. And I get in front of him, finally give him the finger. There's another 10 trucks in front of him doing the same thing. And then there's a space in front of those trucks, and there's another 3 or 4 trucks. Everybody out there just drives to get to where they need to go without any stress, without any. And it's like a fight, and you have to like decompress. It's almost like you have to de-learn how to be a GTA driver when you fucking move.
Oh yeah. There's like that big like moment where you realize you're like, oh, I'm the asshole. I'm the asshole here. They're not the asshole for driving slow. I'm the asshole. And that was pretty wild. That was a wild realization. And my wife was even like, thank God we fucking sold the Audi before we moved. Otherwise I'd be like a real fucking prick, like A1 fucking prick.
Or she'd be a widow. One of the two things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other thing somebody told me too is like the cops here are like the Gestapo, like they fucking pull you over for everything, like speed wise. Yeah, they really lock
That's
down.
That's fucking weird, because they let like 8,000 truckers down to Parliament just for shits and giggles about a month and a half ago. Yeah. So it's amazing to me that the cops are like, oh, listen, if you're doing 102 and a 100, you're fucked, man. That is unbelievable. Yeah. So they're assholes about you speeding and where you park. Yeah. But they're totally cool with, if I'm not mistaken, terrorists showing up and religious extremists camping out for a month on the fucking highway.
I personally thought all those horns were like the welcoming party for me coming back home. That's what I thought.
Did you get there when it was on, or right when it was over?
Just at the end of it, yeah. Tail end, yeah. Yeah. No, that was a menace to this city. And, you know, I think there's even some people who might have supported the cause or supported the ideal that they initially were protesting here, but then got immediately turned off about how obnoxious it was, the horns and so forth.
Fucking right, it was obnoxious. Were you scared? Because you're prepping to move up there at the time, right? Like you're in Barrie, you're getting ready to move, you quit your gig at the radio station. You're watching terrorists take over this beautiful downtown of the nation's capital. You're like, hey, honey, you watching this? Like, we're moving.
Hey, honey, there's a Nazi flag. Check it out.
Look at our new house.
Let's play Count the MAGA Hats from our rooftop, you know.
hey, honey, look, another guy's taking a dump in our backyard that we haven't moved into yet. Look
They raided a soup kitchen for homeless people in downtown Ottawa. Like, oh, yeah, you know, of course you got all the dirt. Yeah. DeanBlundell.com for dirt stuff.
Dirt stuff. Well, it was convoy stuff. Like, I could, I still don't square that. Like, I understand what was at play here, the old theocratic conservative bullshit move where they're trying to make everybody uncomfortable and tell everybody life here is terrible, so you got to change governments. It's all a conservative grift and a PPC grift and a grift for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, too, of which, of which I'm not a fan. So, it's easy for me to be able to figure out exactly what those people were doing there. And what's really hard for me to understand is how fucking deep those cops are in Ottawa when it comes to giving you a ticket for a traffic infraction, but how cool they are with all the racist white pals showing up to be fucking pricks.
Well, so there was so I haven't had a chance to really get caught up on the local news or the local goss. But I know that like the police board here is like, there's been like mass resignations and like turnover and everything. It's like, oh man, it's pretty dicey. Anyways, we'll see how it all turns out. I'm sure there'll be lots of hot takes at the end of the day.
Yeah, there always is.
But luckily our house is like, we're way outside. Like we're in the suburbs. Like we're like the equivalent of like fucking Richmond Hill, you know, in the GTA.
Sort of. So you're north of the city.
Really? Well, it would be, in this case, it would be like southwest, but like it's kind of the same sort of
Kanata. Are you in Kanata? Is that the area?
No, we're in Barrhaven.
Oh, I hear Barrhaven's quite the mover and shaker community. I hear the swingers there are huge. So if you're
it's a swinging community,
Well, I that's just what everybody says when someone moves into a neighborhood. They're like, oh, look at for the stars above the garage. That means they're swingers.
Yeah, there's the one that the Glebe neighborhood. What, I don't even know what the fuck a Glebe is, but there's a neighborhood in downtown Ottawa called the Glebe. And they the rumor was is that if your garage is half open, like if you leave your garage open, that means you're a swinger, right? But where I fucking come from, man,
the Ottawa smoking weed.
No, man, where I come from, that means I'm getting a fucking new snowblower. That's all that means. Fuck.
Yeah, dude, I've always been amazed at those like swinger myths. You're like, you'd be driving around with somebody, like you drive through Brooklyn, Ontario, which is just east of where I live.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Brooklyn, that's the swinger capital of Canada. And then you get to Uxbridge, you're like, oh, Uxbridge, that's the swinger capital of Ontario. And you're like, how the fuck, where are you getting this from? Everybody uses that all the time. Just it's like a conversation starter for people. Hey, did you know that this is the swinger capital of Alberta? Oh, fuck, I had no idea. And it's all a lie. And then they're like, how do you know that? Well, if they put like a Canadian flag out front of their house, it means that they're swingers. Or if they leave their garage door halfway open, it means they're swingers.
Yeah. Fuck, there's always one, eh? Yeah, well, you know what? This neighborhood very well might be have some swingers in it, because I filmed this. This is actual footage from here in Barrhaven while I was out walking my daughter in the carriage. This guy.
That's a guy that just gave up.
Now, for the audio listeners, Dean, can you describe what you just saw?
Yeah, just a dude with shorts on, walking his dog, no shoes, no shirt. And the shirt, it kind of looks like he's wearing one. It's not. He's got that old vest back hair.
Yeah.
That, so much back hair, it looks like a vest. And he's carrying a few extra pounds. And he's sauntering like he doesn't care if he lives or dies.
Yes, I did not realize there was a crack house in this neighborhood. I thought that, you know, the property value had canceled that out. But
What was the temperature outside when you saw that guy walking with no shoes and no shirt?
It was on my Instagram, and I put the like the temperature thing on the Instagram story. Like it gives you, it was 13 degrees, but he was barefoot, not but his swim, what looks like swim shorts.
Yeah,
and walking his dog. I don't know if it was a rope. Let's see what he was. I can't
that see. He was walking the dog with just to rope around his neck.
Let's watch it again just to make sure. Yeah, no, he's got.
I love how the hair stops right around the back fat, where the back fat starts.
Oh, I love
it. Immediately stops. Yeah, the muffin top, and but he's literally walking around like it's 30 degrees outside, and he's got no choice but to disrobe. But in front of him, which is great, you see the dude on a bike, and he's wearing a parka, and he's wearing a toque, and he's wearing gloves, and it gives you some, like, fucking texture to how fucked that guy is. That's a great neighborhood you live in. Nice.
It is. Yeah, I know. I mean, within the first month that there was that sighting, and I thought it is a great neighborhood, to be honest. It really is. It's called Half Moon Bay. There's a nice little lake, and, you know, it's all very scenic, and it was so funny because you could hear kids playing in the background, right? Like, there's a park. He was literally walking to the park like that, and he as we walked by, and I wish I'd videoed this part, you could hear the kids up on the play structure be like, "Mom, look, that guy's not wearing any clothes."
I'm guessing he has a couple restraining orders in a few areas around town close to parks and schools. That's a dude that you see outside your school, and you're like, "I'm just going to call the police just in case." Just in case he's already got a restraining order at these schools.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that's I've noticed since moving here, Dean, and I'll get your take on this. This is old, actually, but it actually came on the TV because I don't think I've ever watched the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but that same day. So we had that incident, and then we came back and we watched a little TV while I was making lunch. And Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is, you know, we got Disney Plus and it's on there. So we're like, great. So we're putting it on there. And this was like from 10 years ago, but because we started the whole thing over again, we're starting from the very beginning of Mickey Mouse. So we get all the early episodes. This is from 10 years ago. And it reminded me of this clip.
Okay. It's Mickey Park. And once you get there, look for the triangle shaped bush. And remember, to find your first Mickey marker, you need to find a triangle bush.
Well, might as well take a nap. I could look for that triangle bush later.
Lots of shaped bushes. Now, where's that old triangle bush? Yippee! We found the triangle bush.
And we found a Mickey marker.
You found the Mickey marker.
Wow.
Just push this button for a special surprise.
That, I mean, I remember seeing that like 10 years ago and being like, what the fuck? And there it was in front of my very own eyes on my TV while my daughter's watching it. The triangle bush, the magic button. You push the button, the thing squirts and sprays out fireworks or squirts, whatever.
What the fuck are you watching? And listen, I knew the second they were looking for the triangle bush what was going on. But like, you really got a great clip together. That was one, like, it was the repetition of the triangle bush and pushing the button. So this is the problem with what you just did, okay? Yeah. An evangelical Christian is going to see that.
Oh, yeah.
An extremist religious loser is going to see that and go, honey, we have a problem. And they're going to send it to Ron DeSantis in Florida, and all of a sudden Disney's going to get shut down because of what you discover from a 10-year-old DVD about trying to find shapes in a Disney thing and equating it to the triangle bush and the button you push on the bush to make things explode. We get it. You've just caused Disney all kinds of problems.
I know. I'm a menace. And then no one's going to get a new episode of The Mandalorian after that fiasco.
No, fuck no.
So you're welcome for ruining all the Marvel universe and all the universes.
Yeah.
All the universes except for the 90 Day Fiancé universe.
I've never seen that show.
What?
No, I haven't seen 90 Day Fiancé. I haven't seen The Ultimatum. And someone I know is like big into The Ultimatum. I'm like, I can't watch that. I just cannot watch shows where people are like, I think I love them. I'm not too sure. I just met somebody. I can't watch shit that's put on that is like, I can't even watch Survivor anymore. I can't watch any reality TV because none of it's real. You and I both know that, right? You know reality TV isn't real, correct?
Oh, well, yeah. No, but that's why I like it. Like 90 Day, the producer of the 90 Day, it's a universe. Like Marvel has a universe, 90 Day has a universe now. I'm not even joking. And the producer of the whole thing is none other than the same producer that was producing the Jerry Springer show for its entire run. So, I mean, like, listen, I just love it, though. I know it's not real. I don't believe it's real. But, man, these fucking people. Anyways, it's you don't watch it, so we can't have an in-depth discussion about it. But before we let Dean go and before we wrap up this podcast, we have to talk, speaking of TV shows, one that I know that we both watch, Curse of Oak Island. Have you seen up to that finale? Do you feel I felt ripped off by the ending? I usually have a lot of hope but they found a fucking rubber boot. That was the fucking finale, basically.
Are you starting to get the impression, and I've got 6 minutes to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But are you starting to get the impression that we've been taken for a ride in Nova Scotia? Are you starting to get the impression that they kind of know there's no treasure to be found? If you are a Curse of Oak Island fan, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Rick and Marty Lagina, by the way, Billy Gerhard's never looked better, and especially when he wore shorts.
But Marty.
I got that for the first time in the 9 seasons I've been watching Curse of Oak Island. I feel like I'm getting ripped off. I feel like, wait a second, I think they know that there's nothing there. I think that they know that there's no treasure. I think that they know that it's just remnants. And it's really just about being the number one cable show on television, right? Yeah. I had hope that it was real and they were going to find treasure. I think they string us along because you're right. The most climactic point in that entire show this year was when they found a piece of a boot.
Yeah. Yeah. They were trying to pass it off as former President Roosevelt's boot, too. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's just a rubber boot. Could it be former President Roosevelt's boot? I'm like, what? Fuck off.
Oh, dude. And here's the thing. Is the hopefulness behind that whole show, which I love. I get it.
I know.
But and you have to watch it, especially the early episodes. You're like, could it be? And we're men. We like digging. We like finding things. We're all treasure hunters. So it appealed to me. And now I'm like, nah, this is just like every other thing for mainstream media. These guys are just fucking stringing us along. Yeah. They've done more to help me not trust media than newspapers have. And that says a fucking lot. Because I'm starting to think that Rick and Marty are pulling one over on us for the fucking TV ratings. That's what I think.
Well, if you look at the producer, it's also the producer from the Jerry Springer Show. No, I'm just joking.
Same guy?
Fuck. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking, man. It feels like it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Feels
mm-hmm.
like it's potential.
Do you
there.
Feel that too? Are you feeling a little like
I
don't know if I'm gonna invest next year into it. I think I'm waning.
No, I'm gonna check it out, but I'm maybe not gonna go week to week with it. You know, maybe I'll just wait for like 6 episodes to launch and then watch all 6 of them and then maybe keep going, you know, depending on how those 6 were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'll still dip my toe in. I've been obsessed with the treasure on Oak Island, Nova Scotia since I was in the 3rd grade. We've been over this. So
got 100% on a 3rd grade project because you did a thing about Curse of Oak Island. Dude, I love the idea. Every guy does. Like if you said to me, Dean, you can pivot and do one thing and one thing only, I'm like, fucking dig for treasure. For sure I would.
Yeah.
But not when there's none to be found. I feel like we're getting fucked. That's all I have to say about Curse of Oak Island.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm getting there. Maybe another
season. It looks like Billy's really embraced wellness.
If you just Google Billy Gerhart. Just and Google images that, and you'll know who we're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly. He is not got a 6-pack. He's got a keg. Thank you for listening to Big Chris Live, the live stream, the podcast. Thanks for joining us this evening. And thanks to you, Dean Blundell, deanblundell.com, the podcast host for this podcast and many others, including his own. And check out Joe, the Nerd Dad Williamson as well. And his podcast, guested with him recently.
Yeah, you were great.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, hoping to have him back on this podcast. We'll talk some dad stuff.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.